Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett. I am the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. It is my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and then bring you some good news in the morning. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries. If you want to look us up in the internet or re-listen to this program, you can find us at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. This morning, I want to look at belief systems and why they matter. But before we do, let's start off with joy. Let's listen to Sandy Patty sing, "Let There Be Praise." A decade ago, I went out to Grand Manan Island in New Brunswick. I know a guy there who runs a whale-watching tour outfit, and so we thought we'd try to go see some whales with him. We got up early and we met him at the boat, but the weather wouldn't cooperate. The fog was so thick you couldn't see more than a couple of meters over the side of the boat. We thought we'd try to go out anyways and hope the fog would lift. Well, my friend drove his boat out of the harbor and through this pea soup fog, and he drove it out into the ocean, avoiding the islands on the way. He had radar and sonar and a GPS tracking system. These told him where we were, and here we were in the middle of the Bay of Fundy, and we couldn't see a thing. But he knew where we were because the instruments told him. But what if the instruments were miscalibrated? What if the GPS was giving off false readings? What if the radar was out of whack? If that were the case, we would have a feeling we were going the right way, and then when we ran into an island or something else, we'd be puzzled. Our instruments would be telling us one thing, but something different was happening in reality. We use a different instrument to navigate through life. They are called belief systems, or paradigms, or mental models. They are the glasses through which we interpret life. The images, assumptions, and stories we use to interpret our world and they guide our actions. This is true whether or not you're a Christian. Everyone has beliefs, and that helps them to interpret the data of the life around them. If someone comes to you and says, "I've got a headache," and you say, "I have an aspirin you can take," you're showing a belief system. You are showing you believe in a scientific view of the body, where chemistry can be altered by drugs. If you were to go to some parts of the world, they would say, "You have a headache, go meditate." Their mental model is that the mind controls the body. If you were to go to other parts of the world, they would send you to a witch doctor to cast out evil spirits. Their paradigm is that pain comes from the spirit world. The thing about belief systems is that they are so easy to assume that the ones that we hold are right, so we don't even examine them. Anyone who has married someone different than themselves becomes very familiar with this dynamic early in marriage. See, we acquire belief systems from the culture we grow up in, and we assume that they are true. And we would hardly question the chemical intervention for a headache. That's just the way things work. Others would hardly question the role of the spirit world. That's just the way things work. The problem comes is if your belief systems are wrong. You assume the world is working one way, but in reality, it is working another way. You can see that on a global scale. AIDS was so devastating in Africa because some governments denied its existence. A common belief was that the cure for AIDS was to have sex with a virgin. Wrong belief systems, and it devastated Africa. But it's true on a personal scale as well. I know people whose personal stories tells them that when they walk into a room, all people see is their lack of hair or their big feet or their big nose or whatever. These people then act in a way that try to compensate for this, and it skews how they behave, and then it skews how people behave towards them. The reality was probably that people hardly noticed what they were so worried about. I know people who believe that others conspire against them. And then they behave in such a way that it brings it upon themselves. How you think about life, how you think about how the world works, matters. The way you think about life has a way of forming your life. Now, what you believe about God matters as well. It will determine the quality of your spiritual life. You know, we as Christians believe that there is one God overall, but that we are separated from God by sin. We believe that God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to deal with that sin. He did so by dying on the cross. Now, anyone who comes to Christ can know God personally. That is the core message of the gospel. But our belief system is much more extensive than that. If you are going to mature in the Christian life, then you're going to have to know and trust the character of God. You need to trust in his goodness, even when life isn't good. You need to trust in his love, even when you don't feel loved. These things come down to, what do you believe about God? If you hold the wrong belief system in these areas, then your faith and probably your life will get beached on an island somewhere. I've seen too many people's faith shipwrecked who believe that if people are claiming to be Christians, then they should be more holy than they appear to be. They saw hypocrisy, and because their view of the world is that people should live totally consistent with their beliefs, they abandoned Christ. The reality is that the people will fail you. Jesus is the only one who will never fail you. But people's faith has been shipwrecked over a wrong belief system. If we're going to go on to spiritual maturity, then we have to have a deep, settled faith in the character of God. But we have to see through glasses of a proper belief system. And if we warp who God is and if we warp his character, then it's going to have ramifications for the rest of our life. Come with me to Colossians chapter 2, and here's what the Apostle Paul writes. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul says, I'm really working hard on your behalf. I want you to know that my purposes are twofold, that you will become strong in community, encouraged in heart and united in love, and in that strong community that you're going to find a treasure, the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In other words, if you're going to have a right belief system, if you're going to see things through undistorted glasses, if you're going to have the navigational instruments calibrated properly, it all comes down to knowing Christ well. If you can see Christ and the treasures hidden in him, you will have what it takes to navigate well through this life. Verse 4 says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. There's a war going on for your mind. Now keep in mind that Paul is talking to the church in Colossae. There will be people who come into the church or into your home via the media or that sound really good. But Paul says, I want you to have true wisdom and knowledge, and I need you to find that in Jesus, because that's where it is found. So verse 6 goes on to say, So just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him. How did you receive Christ? Well, it was through faith. You believed him. You trusted him. How do you continue to live? By believing in him, by trusting in him. But that's not how we're prone to live. We're prone to trust Christ and our own strength, Christ and the power of our prayers, Christ and our good works, Christ and our strategies. But verse 6 says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. See to it that you don't get imprisoned by a false belief system. Let's take some time to listen to some music, and then I'll take you through some common false belief systems about God. Let's listen to Steve Bell and his song, The Wellspring.
Word and his breath, and all things are called into being. This mystery of love and of life is a gift, and his glory beyond human reason. And holy, holy, holy is the God of power and might. In all heaven and earth his glory lives. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Whatever he speaks is worthy to be pure and blameless and holy. Whatever he breathes is lovely indeed, forever reflecting his glory. Holy, holy, holy. God of power and might. In all heaven and earth, His glory lives. Hosanna in the highest. And holy, holy, holy is the God of power and might. In all heaven and earth, His glory lives. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna.
Let me run through some common belief systems. The first one goes like this. I know God loves the whole world, so He must love me. But He loves me because He has to. I'm really not lovable to God. I'm a second-class person, a second-class citizen. You only knew where I came from. This belief system cools people's faith down. They don't want to pursue God too much because, well, what's the use? They sometimes try to be really good so that God will accept them. Go back to Christ. You have more faith in your badness than in His goodness. You really believe that God loves you because what you do? But that's not the truth. God loves you because what Jesus has done. Jesus has taken away every obstacle to God loving you. Now God's love is directed towards you unhindered. Go back to Jesus. Another common false belief is almost the opposite. Some people are trying to be really good so that God will love them, but the opposite is that God doesn't really care how you live. You can go on and sin as much as you want to, and God doesn't care. Go back to Jesus. Does that sound like Him? Can you picture Jesus saying, oh, it really doesn't matter how you live. Go do what you want. I'll just overlook it. That is not the Jesus of the Bible. That is not the Jesus I know. That is the sin of presumption. God will forgive so I can go ahead and do what I want. Go back to Jesus. That's not what He would say. There's another false belief system going around. The Christianity is, well, it's all about what I believe. It's a philosophical system. It's a way to do morality. Go back to Jesus. Jesus wants to connect with you. He wants to change you. He wants to come into you. He wants to have fellowship with you. Go back to Jesus. Christianity is more than faith about God. It is about a relationship with God. The Christian life is about connection to Jesus. It's not just a moral code. It's not just a nice set of rules. It's not just a good philosophy. It is about connection to Jesus, connection to the vine. It is about us getting our spiritual life from Jesus. You really need to understand that the Christian life is about Jesus. It's about our connection with Him. For to misunderstand this will lead you into all sorts of false beliefs. One of the big false beliefs of our day is that, well, I'm blessed because of what I do, because of my performance. It is the amount I pray that determines my blessing. It is the amount I do good that determines my blessing. It is the amount that I give that determines my blessing. It is the amount I worship that determines my blessing. I'm blessed because I do the right things. Those are human traditions, elementary principles of this world. You are not blessed because of your good behavior. You're blessed because of your connection with Jesus. You're not blessed because of the amount you pray. You're blessed because of your connection with Jesus. You're not blessed because of the amount you worship. You're blessed when you worship because it connects you with Jesus. You're not blessed because you give. You're blessed because when you honor God with your giving, you show your love and it connects you with Jesus. Your performance doesn't bring blessing. Connection with Christ is what brings blessing. On the opposite end, you're not cursed because of all the bad things you've done. You're not cursed because you have performed poorly. There are things that happen in your life that have consequences. Some people feel, well, I can never be blessed because of this. You're not cursed because of what you have done. What matters is that you are connected with Jesus. And when what you have done separated you from Jesus, it hurts. And when you refuse to confess your sin, it hurts. When you refuse to let go of your guilt, it will hurt you too. Because Jesus comes and says, you know, if you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so your self-condemnation disconnects you from Jesus. Trust in the forgiveness of God that reconnects you with Jesus. Your false guilt beaches you. Trusting in Jesus connects you. What you believe about who God is, who you are, and how the world works will determine the quality of the life you have. There's a prayer I pray sometimes, and part of it goes like this. I will not judge God, His Word, myself, or others, based on feelings or circumstances. The reason why I pray that prayer is that sometimes I am tempted to judge God or myself or others on the basis of feelings and circumstances. How are you to think about who God is? Who you are and how the world works? How do you know what's right? Well, you need to become familiar with the Bible. You especially need to become familiar with the New Testament. And you especially need to become familiar with Jesus. If you have a choice between your feelings about God or your feelings about yourself and what the Word of God says about God and yourself, what are you going to believe, God's words or your feelings? When the Word of God tells you that God is good, but you look around and you don't see a lot of good, what are you going to believe about God? When the Word of God tells you that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing, but you're not feeling blessed, what are you going to believe about God? What you choose to believe about who God is and who you are and how the world works will determine the quality of your life. Faith is often a choice before it becomes internalized. My question is, will you make the choice of faith? Will you rely on the Spirit to help you to get to know Jesus and His Word? This is how you can live in truth. There's something important going on here. See, you're navigating through life. Some people navigate through life with their feelings. Some people navigate through life with their philosophies. Some people navigate through life just because they put one foot in front of the other. Jesus comes to you and said, will you put your hand in mine? Let's walk together and help. Let me allow you to show you what's right in life. Because I know where the islands are. I know where the rocks and the sea are. And I can walk you through and get you to where you need to go. Will you trust what Jesus has to say about life in this world? Let's pray. Lord, my prayer is that each person here would have a true understanding of who you are and what it means to follow you. Lord Jesus, we're so often tempted to follow our feelings, and follow how we've been brought up, and follow all those things. But Lord, I ask that you would help us to follow you. For each person listening, I ask, Lord, that you would just give them a sense of who you are. Help them to take the next step on their spiritual journey. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, listeners, for your words of encouragement. And we appreciate when you keep us in your prayers. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith. And it's challenging financially. If you can help with that, we would appreciate it. Please make your checks payable to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, KOG1WO. Or you can give online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca. I know we have a number of international listeners that listen over the internet. We'd appreciate your help as well. Alan Churchill, who is the founding pastor of this ministry, is writing a monthly devotional. Alan is well known for his spiritual insight and ability to communicate the truth of God. If you would like to receive this devotional, go to our website at Good News in the Morning and sign up and start receiving it right to your email box. We know that God will bless you through this ministry. Well, it has been a pleasure spending this morning with you. My name is Brent Russett. You can follow me on Twitter at Brent Russett, R-U-S-S-E-T-T. May you know Jesus personally. May His Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with His constant and abiding and accompanying love. May you know all of who God is so you walk well in this world. Let's see ourselves out by listening to Jars of Clay and their song, Show Me Your Love.
Speak.
say the words that no one else will ever say. Love, love like the world we know is over in a day. I'm gonna show you love in every language. I'm gonna speak the words that need no form. I'm gonna give you what you never had before.
News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.